I wish I had someone to play like that before every time I preach. I think that would improve my preaching significantly, or at least the reception of it anyway. Friends, we're going to be in Acts 28, the last words of Acts, if you want to turn with me. It has been just an absolutely wonderful week to be here, and I want to thank you again for your hospitality in inviting me. And your kindness, your stories, your many conversations around camp, I treasure them, and I've treasured this week. And Bill, particularly for you and Phyllis, for your hospitality and the way y'all cared for us this week, we're just really, all of us, from Brad and Matt and the Snowdens and myself, thank you for all you've done for us and for your leadership here. It's very, very appreciative. Kind of makes me want to re-enroll in school, come be in your college ministry, you know? I think we could have some fun. Any of you make your way down to San Antonio for a weekend, for a vacation, or a visit, come see me. We're at Trinity Baptist Church every Sunday. There's room on my row next to me and my family. Would love for you, and please do. And if you do make it down, come say hello. And sure would love to tell a Paisano story and hear about how things are going for you between this year and the next, where we will be back, God willing, and the creek don't rise. But let me pray for us as we enter into this sermon moment. God, we do thank you for today. We thank you for this week, where our bodies are tired and our bellies are full and our soul is overflowing. God, you have been faithful to be present to us, to show up as you have promised to do, and we are grateful. Help us to leave here not down because we're leaving camp, but full, knowing that we are being sent back into our everyday worlds. And we have had this privilege of being here, a privilege of being full of the Spirit that is meant to spill out on other people. Help us to leave here on fire for you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, this is the final sermon. And we've been walking from the first words now to the very last words of Acts. I want to read them for us very briefly. It says in Acts 28:30, he lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him. This is speaking of Paul. Paul's in house arrest prison in Rome. He welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God, teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the words we're going to visit about today. With all boldness and without hindrance. Boy, isn't that a great line to end a book, to end a sermon, to put on your gravestone one day? He shared the gospel with all boldness and without hindrance. It really wraps up this one way to view this story of Acts, this story of the coming of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit's activity. Quite well. We've seen what's happened. We see the coming of the Spirit. We see the Spirit's creation of the church. We've seen threats to the Spirit that I've talked about, that we can read about. We've seen the Spirit's power doing these disciples throughout the books do the everything Jesus did, everything the Son of God did through the power of the Spirit the disciples are able to do. We've seen new people come, thousands of new people by the end of this story come to know Christ all across the empire, all sorts of people who had been thought for centuries that were outside of really God's plan, that it was to one people and through that people to everyone. Now, through Jesus to everyone, everyone is welcome in to the kingdom of God. We've seen surprising things. We've seen threats overcome, and we come here to the very end, and Paul is sharing Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. You know, you read words like that, and a little background there. Paul had been arrested and had spent some time in Caesarea in kind of a prison compound, in the military compound, and he had appealed his conviction to Rome, which was his right, to Caesar, his right as a Roman citizen, and that's how he gets to Rome, essentially, to appeal his sentence. And he's in house arrest, a different form of imprisonment, at his own expense, and that's where we are here. We read these stories of Paul, and we see these words written about Paul. He shared the gospel with all boldness and without hindrance. And, you know, it's tempting to make Paul something other than us. I mean, he's a larger-than-life figure, and he lived a long time ago, and we've learned about Paul for as long as we've been in church. We maybe haven't thought a lot about the man Paul. There's some pretty great just biographies by N.T. Wright and others on just the person of Paul that help maybe bring him back down to earth. We give him and some others almost superhero spiritual status. I mean, have you ever shared the gospel with all boldness, meaning no fear, no trepidation, without any hindrance, without any insecurity, without any fear, without any obstacles, as I said yesterday, in your path? When you know, without worrying, when you shared the gospel, when you proclaimed, when you encouraged someone, whether you were doing enough or doing too little, whether you were being too pushy or not bold enough, whether you were intruding on their time, whether you were going to be rejected. I confess, I haven't ever, I don't know, shared with all boldness, without any hindrance, left to my own devices. I have a supernatural gift to see hindrances everywhere. I mean, I really, unfortunately, am pretty good at sizing up a situation and spotting all of the possible holes, all of the possible problems, and sometimes how to get around them, and often just daunted by them. It drives my family, it drives my staff a little bit nuts when I'm not real healthy sometimes spotting problems and hindrances and obstacles. And whenever I preach or teach or share the gospel with someone, there's always a bit of fear. There's always a little trepidation. Always that small sense of the foolishness of this message I am asking someone to wrap their life around. And do I believe in it? Yes. But there's always some temptation there to be a little cautious. The what ifs that we're plagued by. Yet here is Luke writing about Paul, sharing the gospel with all boldness, without any hindrance. But Paul is no superhero. He's just been changed by Jesus. He's given up all the old stories about his life and all of the old things that he was, and he's been transformed by the power of Jesus, the Holy Spirit at work in his life, in this new story of who he is in Christ, where he so identifies with Christ, he can say things like, "For me to die is Christ." Or excuse me, to die is gain. Get that one right. And to live is gain. Paul has been transformed by a different story. Met Jesus. Jesus stopped him in his tracks. And he names reality now according to different rules. Whereas we talked about yesterday that what is available, what is possible in the world when the Holy Spirit is on the move. Because we look at life, you know, there's different ways to look at lives, different measurements we can use. Looked at a different lens, if we wanted to kind of play devil's advocate for a minute, Paul's life looks very different, viewed from another way. We know a few things about Paul and his goals. His goal was to get to Rome. Because he knew if you could infiltrate Rome with the gospel, all roads led to Rome. Not to Gatesville, if you've seen Waco area's commercials of all roads leads to Gatesville. No, all roads led to and from Rome. If you could get the gospel there, it could be disseminated everywhere. We know Paul wanted to get to Gaul, which is now Spain and Portugal. He wanted to get to the furthest west he knew he could go. He wanted to take the gospel all the way to the ocean, to get it as far out there in the empire as possible. He wanted to visit all those churches that he planted at least one more time. He wanted to go back to them. We see this in his letters and greet them and encourage them and be encouraged by them. He had these goals, but instead of any of those things, Paul's thrown into prison. Other than imprisonment, Paul suffered greatly. He speaks of it in 2 Corinthians 11. It's like reading a very dark Dr. Seuss book is what this is when we read it. I experienced countless beatings, often near death. 5 times I received the hands of the Jews, the 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. And this is where the Dr. Seuss, once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day. I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, dangers from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Paul saw the inside of every kind of Roman jail, city jails, with chains and bars and shackles. Roman compounds in Caesarea, house arrest in Rome. As he nears the end of his life, the only way he gets to Rome, that goal, was as a prisoner. And he never gets to Gaul. He never gets to visit those other churches again. Thwarted and defeated in those ambitions, reduced to house arrest at his own expense. There's a very compelling narrative, should we want to read it this way, that by the end of his life, Paul's a failure. Checked in his ambition, failed in his goals, soon to be executed by the state. A compelling narrative that would say Luke's word of Paul's ability at this point to share the gospel with all boldness and without hindrance is absolute nonsense. Paul's story is literally a litany of hindrances, a list of obstacles and checked ambition. But Paul lived according to a different story. Paul was speaking of his life, and Luke was writing his life through this lens of the Spirit we talked about yesterday, and what is possible when then the Spirit is on the move. Paul knew the Holy Spirit was on the move. Paul knew the Holy Spirit was beyond his control and likely to move in surprising ways, so he followed no matter what. He persevered through obstacles and saw hindrances transformed into divine opportunities. We read the story of Acts, read Paul's letters. When Paul was thrown into prison, prison guards came to know Jesus. When Paul was shipwrecked, while he waited on rescue, he started churches on the island where he washed up. His own people hated him, wanted to kill him, and argued with him. But every time he argued with them, at least a few of them came away believing in Jesus as the Messiah. And when he was imprisoned and perhaps going blind and unable, failed to get back to those churches, he began to write them letters. And what would have more long-term kingdom impact? Paul visiting those churches once, or writing those letters you and I continue to read and grow from, and our children and our children's children will continue to be blessed by? Because the Holy Spirit was at work, obstacles became opportunities and hindrances became gifts. And even though he's in prison, and even though his health is failing, and even though he's about to be executed by the state, Luke can write without irony, and Paul could say with all honesty, with complete sincerity, without embarrassment, that he did continue to share the gospel with all boldness and without hindrance. There was nothing Rome or the devil himself could throw at him that could really get in Paul's way. Friends, as we wrap up this series today, this experience today, I pray this week of learning from Paul in the morning, in his letter to Philippians, and hearing the parables of Jesus by Luke at night, and studying the Holy Spirit together, that it's of tracing this Spirit movement has infected your life with a sense of what is possible in the world when we watch and when we listen for the Spirit's movement and are courageous enough, bold enough to follow as the Spirit leads. Friends, I'm convinced there's stories in your own life of massive obstacles and tragedy and difficulty and unexpected circumstances that God transformed into opportunities, that you look back on now as the seeds of blessing, as maybe something you wouldn't do over again for anything in the world, but it's part of what got you here, and you wouldn't be where you are in the blessing place today without it. I mentioned a bit of my daughter's story yesterday in a traumatic brain injury she had in a very freak horse riding accident. We were 70 days in the hospital, multiple surgeries, very uncertain prognosis for her for quite some time. Again, the end of that story is I'm going to rush back as soon as this is over and hopefully get to see her in a play tonight where she plays 5 different costume changes, 3 different characters, and a whole bunch of lines in Footloose, the kid musical. I told her, well, you've lived with an uptight preacher your whole life. You should the role you're created for there in Footloose. It's fantastic. We got home from the hospital. We had a neurosurgeon tell us we should consider her recovery miraculous and beyond the medicine, but it was still hard. She wasn't all the way back. Her and I went to Cracker Barrel one night because she wanted pancakes and bacon. I didn't feel like cooking, and Kelly and my son were at a school event or something. She began to talk about her injury for the first time. She hadn't done it, and I was reading everything I could on trauma and recovery and how not to hurt her worse and help her heal. And I knew to ask some gentle questions. And she had been in essentially a medically induced coma for about 7 days those first time to keep the brain swelling down. And I said, Addison, do you remember those early days when you didn't wake up? There wasn't a moment in those days either my wife or I weren't there with her. It was the COVID days where no one else could come in. I said, do you remember any of that? And she said, yeah. And she had gestures that and words, but hadn't put full sentences together yet. And I said, really? I said, what do you remember from those days? And she said, I've never said this to a group. She said, I remember I pray. God, I try. God, I try. And he came, and he said, you okay? I am here. And she said, over, 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 you okay? I am here. Friends, when you can't get to the most precious thing in your life, and you find when you couldn't, God did, your conception of what is possible expands exponentially. What in the world could stand in the way of that God who does not shame and does not condemn, who is not angry at us, but comes to us like that father Brother Snowden talked about last night, running to the Son, who comes and greet our babies when we can't get to them, who transforms obstacles into stories of redemption, stories of power and healing. This is the God we serve. This is the power at work in this world, in this place, in our communities, in our families, in our very lives. Friends, the Holy Spirit has been poured out of creation. The Holy Spirit is powerful beyond reckoning and on the move everywhere you will ever go. You will never enter an inch of this creation where the Holy Spirit has not preceded you in that place and is not already at work. The Holy Spirit is beyond our control and working in surprising ways. Your job is to listen. Who is in need? Where are the lost? Where are the hurting? Where are the needs? Where are the lonely? Where is the Spirit preceding us at work? And when we hear, when we sniff the air, when we see, we do our dead level best to hustle on over and join the Spirit where he is at work. Hindrances will appear. Obstacles will threaten to overcome. Do not be deterred. Do not be discouraged. Do not let other sources of power reduce what you believe is possible in this world. Friends, in truth, we don't leave Pisano today. It's like in church. We never leave church. We launch from church. We launch from Pisano today. Imagine what the Spirit might do with all of us here, going back to any number of churches in West Texas and beyond, with the week we have had, ready to share, ready to look, with eyes open, ears awake to the world. We launch from here to all corners of West Texas and beyond, fueled by a week of renewal together in the Spirit of God to share the gospel, live the gospel with all boldness and without hindrance. Friends, I can't wait to hear your stories next summer of the ways the Spirit of God has stirred in our midst, wherever our midst may be. Thank you.